Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to Mozart's Basement. I'd like to thank you for tuning in this evening. I'm your host, Robert Houghton, and tonight in studio with me here, we have a wonderful Ottawa, Ontario band called Mosaic, and that's spelled M-O space S-A-Y-K. So if you want to check them out on the web, you can do so. We'll be giving out their website address and all that information later. Of course, you're probably all tuned in already through mozartsbasement.com or the worldwide freedomradio network.com. Actually, just worldwidefreedomradionetwork.com. No the on the front of that. Anyhow, it's all about Mosaic tonight, so I'd like to give you a little synopsis of the band. This is taken from their bio. Mosaic combines the strengths and abilities of a gamut of musical backgrounds, and you're going to see that here tonight when they do a lot of their original stuff coming off of their forthcoming CD release. Now, Mosaic is rooted in serving the music and, they say, coming out of the closet of easy listening. Mosaic's not afraid to be who they are and play what they like. They feature a mixture of sort of jazz, R&B, and popular music from the 30s to the present. And Mosaic provides ambient, well-performed entertainment for any crowd of people who aren't afraid to admit that they like music that, quote, soothes the savage beast, unquote. Now, Mosaic is a six-piece band featuring Trina Langthorne on lead vocals. We also have Angie McIver on vocals, and you'll hear Angie playing the saxophone and doing a bit of percussion later in the acoustic session. Cheeto Salazar is their guitar player, and Cheeto's the guy that originally got in contact with me to do this interview, so thanks very much, Cheeto. I wasn't entirely aware of the treat that I was going to be served with here. This absolutely fantastic band, guys. You're going to love it. Rick Barkhouse is also in studio with us. He's their keyboard player. And Ivan Matt is here as well, playing the upright double bass. So that's going to be a treat to hear that as well. Unfortunately, Phil Verriere, the drummer, couldn't be with us today. I didn't get out and finish the remodeling to put the drum isolation booth in the studio yet. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to play you one of the songs you can get on their website. That's mosaic.com. And this one, if I look at my notes here, is entitled I Won't Say. So we got I Won't Say coming up, and without further ado, here it is. Thanks for listening, folks.
I won't say that I don't love you. I won't say that just 'cause we're through. All I know is that I miss you, I miss you. I'm not the kind of girl who can give her heart to all the world. I won't say that I'll forget you. I don't expect the moon to turn blue. All I know is that I want you, I want you. You're not the kind of guy to kiss and then say goodbye. I can't walk away when there's so much to say, and I miss you so much. I belong to your touch. Come back again and let me explain. The sun and I for a while won't exchange a single smile. If it's all the same, then I won't say. Come to this hell, I don't know. guess I was cold, couldn't let love show. Now I know why you said goodbye, why you said goodbye. She's not the kind of girl to settle for a cultured pearl. I won't say that I don't love you. I won't say that I'll forgive you. All I know is that I'll miss you, Lord, I'll miss you. If it's all the same, then I won't say.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in to Mozart's Basement. We got another exciting show for you this evening. And going along with the theme of Aboriginal music and local Ottawa bands, tonight we got a basement full of smooth with local Ottawa musicians Mosaic in the studio. Welcome, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Where did the name Mosaic come from? Everyone's pointing fingers around here. It's, this is radio, names. Radio, not video.
Well,
so.
Originally the band had different. Our influences were very different. Like the original band that we had Trina's a jazz singer.
Okay.
We had the bass player who was funky, and I play rock music.
Okay.
And Angie plays.
Progressive rock.
And we got a drummer who was a classical rock drummer. So I figured, you know, it's a mosaic of different things.
And it's not spelled like mosaic like you would think it should be spelled. It's actually two words.
Yeah, that was Trina's contribution to the whole thing.
Well, there already is a band called Mosaic.
Ah,
that's the reason. So if you Google Mosaic, you get their band. So,
I see.
Yeah, so we decided to.
So if you're going to Google these, you guys, what should people be typing in their search engines?
Capital M, small O, capital S, small A-Y-K.
S-A-Y-K, okay, so Mosaic. Okay, so yeah, you'll definitely find people out there, if you Google that, M-O space S-A-Y-K, you'll definitely find the website. And go on, check it out. There's lots of good music on there. A couple of videos that you guys did. I understand you just finished another gig at the Mercury Lounge. I think some of the previous videos had been filmed at the Mercury Lounge. So a reasonable sound quality too. So you definitely get a real sense of the band. Go on and check it out. And I'm wondering about your cat. Now that the smoking bylaw here in Ottawa doesn't allow for smoking, your smoking cat logo, are you allowed to bring
I made a life-size version of him, but we haven't actually brought it to the stage.
Okay, so there's no actual smoking cat.
Correct.
It's a fictional character.
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
I'm training my cat as we speak.
I've seen monkeys smoke, but I don't know, cats, you never know.
With a cocktail glass.
Yeah.
With the cocktail glass, that's right. Actually, I find myself, they definitely do go hand in hand, and then that whole smoking thing really... It's too bad that you guys can't play a nice smoky club anymore, because that it sure would fit with the music. You know what I mean? At least in like sort of an artistic sense. So it really would fit. So I believe I'm becoming a bit of a mosaic-holic, actually, listening to the tunes on your website over the last couple of days. But thankfully, there's been no one of those hangover conditions, you know, after it. It's just I want to keep going back for more, but there doesn't seem to be any downside to it. So that's a good thing. So I really appreciate you guys coming in the studio today, and you're going to do some acoustic stuff.
That's
the drummer's not with us.
That's right.
In the past few interviews, we've actually had the drummers come in, and they've sort of sat there on the bench and sadly looked while everybody else had fun. So is he out, delivering pizza or something? Typical drummer joke? Is that what he's doing today instead of coming to the studio?
Or? Selling cars, I think.
Selling cars. Okay, good. Well, I definitely want to see you guys live, so you can tell... Phil, that I'm sorry I didn't get to meet him today, but we'll definitely come out and see you guys in the future.
Oh, cool. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Have you got any new concerts coming up? Any shows?
Not that we plan. We're working on recordings.
Excellent. Okay.
Our purpose for the fall is to get something onto a CD.
We have enough songs. The problem is we haven't been able to record them the way we want to get them recorded.
Right.
I'd love to do a live-to-floor recording. which, you know, of course makes producers crazy because they can't alter the tracks afterwards. But that's kind of my ideal, is that 30s, 40s, put the needle down on the graphite and just let it go. And
right.
You make a mistake, well, it's, you know, it's part of your band's flavor.
Excellent. Well, I know that, is it Bruce at Blue Bear? He's apparently really good for that. So maybe you want to contact Bruce at Blue Bear and see.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Anyhow, you guys are going to do a whole bunch of acoustic tunes here today.
That's right.
So what would you like to pick first?
Well, let's start with The Right Thing.
The Right Thing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, you got any history on this one?
Not really. It's a song that I wrote. I was just about a guy that I used to work with, and it's a story. It's also, I don't really write about my own personal life too much. I mostly take from other people's lives, so I don't want to say that it's my friend's life that I'm writing about, because she might get mad, but it's, you know, she tells me these stories about her bad breakups, and I use it as, you know, fodder for my music to write about different relationships. So,
you're the main songwriter, at least lyric writer, Trina?
Lyrics, yeah.
Yeah. And Cheeto, you do most of the
arrangement.
Most of the arrangements.
I give Trina progressions in some of the other songs.
Like Baby Birds.
Like Baby Birds, and she puts in the melody and the lyrics to the song.
Okay. Does it mostly start with lyrics? Mostly start with a state of mind, or?
Depends on the song. Sometimes they just, it's like I'm a conduit. I don't really take credit for it. Like My Mama, some of the old swing songs that I write, mostly I'm a conduit. I just sort of hear, it comes through me, and I just sort of, I get it, I go to my mic and I sing it to get capture the idea, and then I start working out the lyrics for it. Sometimes it comes with a lyric as well, just right intact.
It spontaneously arrives, so
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. And other songs you have to sort of work at making.
All right, well, let's hear The Right Thing, guys, and hopefully we've got all the wires hooked up here correctly, and everything will sound wonderful. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen, Mosaic live from Mozart's Basement with The Right Thing.
You always said the right thing, and I adored you. You were someone I craved, could be more than a friend. I was frozen and chained, and so I ignored you. You wanted me then, like I want you now. If I said the right thing, you would have adored me. I wanted to know the devotion you felt, but I was afraid to drown. My safety found me clinging to my life. If there's a God in heaven, then she'll hear me calling out your name and whisper in your heart that you love me. If I pick the right day, I can still remember the music in your laugh when you sang it to me. The curve of your back as you stood in the doorway, like the sea to the moon, pulled me to your grace. If there's a God in heaven, then she'll hear me calling out your name and whisper in your heart that you love me. Right now.
Well, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, a basement full of smooth. That's some fantastic stuff. Thanks, guys. And some interesting lyrics on that one. There's some that stand out. The curve of your back as you stand in the doorway. That's intriguing.
It's you know, like I like drummers. I think a drummer has a really amazing back, and male dancers, they have amazing backs. I don't know why, but you know, most women are into chests, and I think the back tells me whether you participate physically in life. You know, there's something that you do physically, and I try to look at people's physiology and figure out what they do. Are you do you play tennis, do you swim, whatever? And you can sort of tell by people's physiology what they do for their athletics.
I actually grow back hair for profit as a living myself this year, so. You know, that's probably what you'd learn from me. Unfortunately, that's probably too much information. But
it's an overshare.
You know, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that's excellent. So I guess we should continue by introducing the rest of the band. On bass here tonight, where are you, Ivan? There we go. Ivan Matt. Sorry, I had to look up your last name. I forgot it. I even apologize for that. And you brought the huge, big upright bass here with us. Where did this thing come from? It's a monster.
Well, I mean, it's something I've been playing this for about probably 8 or 10 years.
Okay.
And I morphed into an acoustic bass situation from playing electric before that, and guitar and piano before that. So.
Do you use that pretty much exclusively, or do you mix it up on stage?
50-50. Now okay. I do. I play with various musicians around town, and it was nice to play with Mosaic. It's nice playing with Mosaic because I get to use both the electric and the upright, the double bass, and a lot of the materials, and I think the more that I participate in the material, the more I feel comfortable playing the double bass with it. So.
Well, it's a visual perfect match for the stylings of the band. Like, it really visually impressive, and it really works well with the stylings of the
band.
But
it won't hold a cigarette very well. Like the electric bass does.
I don't know what's the cat going to do. Well, thanks, Ivan. Now, Rick, I understand you're one of the new additions to the band. You've been here just for... A few gigs or something or so?
I've only played one show so far with Mosaic.
And you're playing keyboards.
Not quite as new as Ivan.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
Yeah, he is new.
Okay.
But
so I don't have the genesis, the time
the timeline.
Yeah, the timeline.
Yeah, so. But it's been, I guess, maybe about 6 months or so I've been in the band.
Well, Rick is married to Angie, and he used to come to all the practices, and we said, why is this terrific keyboard player just sitting there in our practices? Get up there and start playing.
Yeah. They kept asking me if he wanted to join the band, and I said, ask him.
Yeah, so that's exactly what Chio did, so here I am.
Wonderful. Yeah. What were you doing before that? Were you doing anything else in Ottawa, like musically speaking?
Yeah, I was playing in a progressive metal band called Widow's Walk.
Okay.
Also doing, kind of...
this isn't Mosaic's really not progressive metal. I don't know that I put
no.
On that. So that's
that's
a bit of a change.
Yeah,
you still play with
them. I actually don't play with them. I just recently left that band, but Mosaic. I grew up and learned keyboards from a jazz band kind of background,
right?
In high school, so this kind of music was kind of the first stuff that I really learned how to solo, learned how to comp, back up chords and stuff like that. So it's like another side of my musical personality. I have a couple of different faces that I put on.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so Angie, you're the last one here. I've left you till last. This is the best for last. You know, you are a saxophone player, and I once was a saxophone player, but...
Yes, thanks for the next rap loan.
Yes. You never know what we have in Mozart's basement.
There you go.
So you've been... with Mosaic pretty much since the beginning as well, or are you a more recent addition?
I'm assuming that was the beginning when I came along.
So how long has the band been around, I guess? Just sorry to interrupt, but...
That's okay.
About 18 months, eh?
Yeah, but, year and a half. Excellent. So it really is just starting then.
Yeah, it
started in May 2008 with just Trina and I and another bass player. And then
we added a drummer. And
we had this idea of coming up with a band, and we talked about the things that we're going to add into... So first one we talked about was having a saxophone player, and Trina Armani, I know somebody who plays saxophone.
Excellent.
I'm a voice teacher. I teach singing as well, and Angie was one of my students, and I've seen her play with another band that she's with, which is...
The Rebel Wheel. That's my progressive rock band, so...
Is there sax in it?
There sure is.
Excellent. Cool. Amazing.
Yeah, so in that band, I sing, and I play sax, and I play keyboards as well, so... I have a really good keyboard tech, so that helps.
Yeah, there you go.
Keep things in line. But yeah, so I showed up for the band. Trina said that she was doing this project and that they wanted somebody who can play saxophone. And so I show up this one day and they're taking band photos. And I actually get to be in the photographs first before I played a note with them. And I thought, well, I guess I'm in the band now. I hope these guys are any good.
That's outside of the fact that you didn't know what you were going to be playing.
No, yeah, exactly. No, I had no idea. But hey, why not?
That's how we roll.
So that's how we rolled. I just showed up and had my pitch taken for half an hour, and then we played a few songs, and I did some solos, and I'm like, so I guess I'm in the band now. All right, I'll see you next week.
So you were around when Baby Birds came to fruition. Kind of, you guys all developed that together as a band.
Well, more that was the story. You know, the story about it is the first two, and I like to tell this story because even me, I'm at this point in time, I'm really amazed at how this whole thing worked out.
Okay.
Because I met Trina, and we started talking about making some music and that kind of stuff. And I said, "Well, Trina, I got a progression that I have. It's that I've been playing for quite a bit. So I re-recorded the whole thing, and I sent it over to her." This was 2 weeks after we met. A couple of days later, she sends me the vocals with the melody and the whole song. And I'm going like, wow, you know, it's just been 2 weeks and we got this. You know, you think right away we're going to have 10 million songs, you know. And it doesn't work that way. So, but if you probably heard it on the website, the one you heard on the website, that's the one I'm talking about.
Okay.
That was recorded, like, right there. And so...
Well, Cheeto sent me the progression, and about an hour after he sent it to me, a friend of mine texted me, and I was on the computer, happened to be on the computer at the time, and he was texting me, and he said, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm great, how are you? And he said, guess where I am? And I hate guessing, and I said, just tell me where you are. So he's like, I'm at the Grammys. I was like, get out of here! He's like, yeah, I'm waiting in line. I'm waiting. He worked with a band called Wide Mouth Mason, and they were a local Ottawa band. They got recommended or whatever. They were. He was up for producer's credit.
Oh, really? Okay.
Single that they had done for a Grammy. So he was standing in line, and of course, I'm texting him. We're chatting back and forth. And all of a sudden, there's nothing for like 2-3 minutes. He's not texting me, and I was like, Where are you? He says, oh, I just watched Rihanna walk by. So I got really bitchy about Rihanna. I was like, oh, I can't stand her. So that's how that song came about. It was basically his experience by, you know, going to the Grammys. Because the next day he called me and he said, of course, I didn't win. I was like, well, you know, they don't honor Canadians. And I was talking him down off the water tower and taking the rifle out of his hand and everything. And he was kind of upset about it. But that's the lyric of the content of that lyric is about, you know, show me the proof of your life. And that's kind of the experience of most performers and especially singers. James Taylor said it best. He said, every time you open your mouth as a singer, you're auditioning. But you're not just, it's like going to a job interview naked is the feeling. Because you could sing 19 songs in a row beautifully, and if you screw up that last song, then everybody's like, oh, well, you know, that last song was just, it wasn't the best, and it wasn't the same. And so they're everybody's really hypercritical about every single thing that you do as a performer. And there's no other job, really, in the world that's like that. You
know, and the whole thing is it's happening over time too. So it's like you're a painter, you make your painting, you don't like it, you burn it, you throw it away.
But
you're a singer or a songwriter and you produce the song, and now you've got to do it 100,000 times.
That's right.
You know, over and over and over again and do it perfectly. So
And usually the same way that you originally usually it's the same way that the people heard on the album, they don't like you to change it.
Right.
So you're
okay, so don't change it, although there's no drums, right? Unfortunately. So it'll have to be changed. So let's hear Baby Birds to see how it goes. No mistakes now, though.
Right. We'll try.
Wondering if you're ever gonna feel the same. All you're ever told is, buddy, this is not your time. Thinking how you're gonna have to fix your fate. Helping little birds to soar on waxing wings. Isn't there so many now the sky is black? Showing little birds a way to start and pace. But all you want is wasted opportunities back. Show me the proof of your life. where you be. Sometimes the truth is in all that it's cracked up to be. Yeah. With so much pressure to conform, featheredness is said would kill ambition, sin. A happy life for most, they said, is not the norm. Jumping off the roof and trying to test your wings sometimes brings you vaguely closer to the sound. You heard it in your head, you thought you'd grasp the ring. The illusion of it always seems to bring you down. Show me the proof of your life, where you be. Sometimes the truth is in all that it's cracked up to be. Yeah.
Can you tell me about Contented Mind?
Okay, well, that's a song that I wrote. I read a lot of spirituality, and I was reading actually the writings of Muhammad, and somebody had told me to read. I've read Sufi writings, and I've read, you know, the Quran and the Bible and da, da, da. And somebody said to me, you should read the writings of Muhammad and not just the Quran. So I got this book, he lent it to me, and I was deeply involved in it. And one of the things that Muhammad wrote that really inspired me was that to be truly wealthy is to have a contented mind. So it doesn't matter how much money you have, whether you're healthy, whether you have a beautiful family, all the things that you want to and aspire for in life. If you're contented every moment of your life with what you have, how little or how much that is, you are wealthy. And that's
pretty hard to achieve.
I know. It's something I struggle with certainly every day, you know. Yeah. So that's what that song's about.
Okay. Okay, let's go into Contented Mind, guys.
People love to say, prepare for when you're old. Won't someone show me how to be thankful when I fall? I don't wanna know where my life ahead will lead, but all my troubles go if I learn from when I bleed. I'm just starting out, so tell me please, tell me when to stay and when to go, what to learn and who to know. Tell me when to laugh and when to cry, how to live my dreams with a contented mind. With a contented mind. If you ask me for the truth, I would tell you I'm not scared. I don't want to live in fear like my parents did. When I was a child, I cried all the time. The older that I get, some courage I can find. All I'm asking for is a little time. Tell me when to stay and when to go, what to learn and who to know. when to cry, how to live my dreams with a contented mind. With a contented mind. A plastic Jesus on my dashboard teases, I'll protect you from sin and the evils within. Well now, I don't feel wrong, no, my faith is strong, not in idols or gods, but in me.
Another wonderful piece, guys. What kind of success are you finding out there? Like, how are crowds reacting to you guys? Do you have any competition here in town? Like, I'm not really sure. It's kind of a unique sound, I guess, is what I'm getting at. So there's 15 questions.
That's a lot of questions.
Well, Sharon noticed at our last gig that we're the cuddle band.
Cuddle band?
Yeah. People start cuddling when they hear our music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they couple off. Even couples fighting stop fighting and start cuddling. So.
I can just initially... When I was listening to the stuff on the website, just initially, it's like it's sort of understated, but complex. Like, it's got really good curb appeal, but not overtly like gaudy or something like that. It's like if you guys were a house, you'd be, you know, all there. It's very nice. It looks very nice and everything. And on further listen, as you walk into the house, you realize the place is a mansion, and it, you know, it gets more complex and improves on each listen. But I found myself wanting to listen to it as opposed to some stuff I put on and listen in the background, you know, and just whatever. But I actually stopped doing what I was doing to listen to it because it drew me to, like, captivated me to do that. And that doesn't always happen with all music, but do you find that that people tend to, you know, like you're saying, cuddle and they sort of shut up and don't make as much noise?
Well, I'm kind of the wrong person to ask because it's like a child when you write a song.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Other people see your kids and they say, oh, your kids are so well behaved and they're so nice and they're so polite. And you're like, my kid is, you know, you see all the bad things, all the things you want to correct.
Right.
So I'm kind of the wrong person to ask about the music has legs or not.
Well, it does.
I'll
answer for you.
We definitely have good crowd response at our shows. Like, you know, very, very polite audiences. We actually had people clapping for our solos. In the middle of the song, which is kind of nice. It shows that the audience is really paying attention and appreciating.
So you guys could really do well with like a National Arts Center crowd.
I think that kind of thing
would be fantastic. Yeah. Have you thought about doing the four stage or something there?
How do we get in?
You can actually rent the National Arts Center to get in there. But
really?
Yeah. you maybe want to think about like the fourth stage itself is ridiculously cheap to rent that
really?
To rent that room, and they'll do all the sound and everything for you and record it if you want and that kind of jazz too. But
nice.
Yeah, like
and
it
would be in the grand
perfect
piano.
Like it's a really yeah. really a very nice dark room kind of thing. The walls are all black and everything, so the band is really the center of attention there, and people sit with their mouths
wow.
shut and listen. It's very, very wonderful.
I think I've been
experience.
In that place. We have to be very careful.
Yeah, I've seen
and then, you know,
shows.
I mean, I'm not saying don't play the bigger venues there too, but, you know.
Well, you know, when you play a big venue, people want to dance.
Right.
And we're not really a dance band. That's what I find. We're more of an intimate kind of venue
yep.
band. And, you know, I played clubs where I was in a 13-piece swing band and people are dancing and they're not really paying attention to what you're doing. So, you know, you can squawk all you want on the sax or whatever, you know. So there's different levels of how, when people listen to you. And then I've you know, just been the singer with a guitar player and people are shooting your looks like, shut up, we're trying to talk over here, you know. So there's, you know, the more intimate you get, sometimes it can backfire on you. The bigger the venue, sometimes it can backfire on you. I think we're sort of a 75 to 100 type capacity room, maybe 125
yeah.
people, but you know, we're a very sort of, you have to listen to what we're saying. And
no, that's what I was saying. It does, I think that instinctively though, however you're doing it, I don't know how you're doing it, but it does sort of demand to be listened to. So that's a good thing. It's a good thing for sure. And more demands, I guess we'll demand another song. What's next here? My Mama? My Mama's next.
My
you did talk a little bit about that earlier, but yeah. Go ahead and explain what that one's
kind
all about.
Of marital tips.
Okay.
<Do well. coughs> That's a song that just came to me. I'm a conduit. I didn't really have any control over that one. It just came out of me.
All right. Well, let's hear how that one goes.
Give and take.
It's give and
take whatever he gives, but for goodness sake, don't let him know what you're saving. Don't let him know about your plans. My mama told me that's how men save the cash. My sister told me love is take and give.
Take and give.
Taking his love, you'll own his will to live. Don't let him know you want children. Don't let him know about your plans. My sister told me that's how you catch a man. Could truth be so hard to please? Could love be a bigger fool? When it comes to romancing me, you should throw out all the rules.
Thank you.
he told me true love is made, not found. My granny told me true love is made, not found.
Can you go over some of the lyrics again for that piece?
Like all the stuff that my mama told me about love.
That's right. Yeah. When I was, you know, getting consulting people's opinions about marriage, these are the different things that they told me.
Yeah. Some say love is give and take. Some say it's take and give. It's hate and love, and love and hate.
So Granny had the best advice. You know, just do what Granny told me. Wedlock is love and hate and love. Love him when he makes you hate, and just thank God above. And I've been married 25 years, and I can tell you that line means more than anything. Don't let him go to bed angry. Don't let him knock you around. My granny told me true love is made, not found. So, yeah, just some little marital tips.
Excellent. Well, let me look at the list here. I think, what do we got? About three or four here left. And I notice I've got a big little or a big star beside this one a year from now. I absolutely love this song. I played it about, I don't know, maybe a dozen times the first time I heard it, kind of thing, over and over and over again. I don't know. It drew me back to crying over that girl that wouldn't go out with you in high school, but like that intensity of the emotion. I don't know why it really plucked my heartstrings or whatever, but that one really affected me. And a wonderful piece of work. What can you give me a bit more history on that song before I hear you do it again? Because once I hear it, I'm not sure if I can continue the interview. I'll be in tears here. So anyway, it's a wonderful song. So.
Well, that song, actually, Cheeto wrote the progression for that. He just started jamming it one day when we were doing some other stuff, and he just started playing his progression.
Actually, that progression has been with me for quite a while, and I actually made that progression for somebody else originally.
Well, how dare you?
But he never went into fruition, and I never offered it to that person and, you know, brought it into...
All the time was right now, for sure, Cheeto. It was,
and I knew she'd do a good job of it, and you know.
Well, I actually broke my back when I was 36. I won't tell you how old I am now, but when I was recovering from that, about 18 months after I had fractured my fifth vertebrae, my fifth disc collapsed completely, and it exploded into my sciatic nerve. So I had to have an emergency discectomy, and they rushed me into the hospital. And just as he was putting prep you and they wash you and blah, 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 and they put you on the gurney and they take you into the operating theater. And just as he was about to put the mask over my face, the anesthesiologist said to me, "You know, you might never walk again." And I was like, "Oh my God." No one had told me that. So I pushed the mask away from my face and I said, "A year from now, I'm going to be skiing with my dog in the woods." Just like that, because I was kind of angry about that. And then I had the operation, and about 3 months after that, I was skiing with my dog in the woods because I was determined that I wasn't going to let that, you know, become an disability. So that's what it's about. There's a lot of people, we had a former drummer who had a brain tumor, and there's a lot of people that...
So it's a really positive song.
It is.
Because to me, I got a sort of a sadness to it. There was some underlying sadness that came through too. I'm not sure.
Oh, interesting. Well,
my interpretation. I'll have to listen to the lyrics more carefully, I guess, more.
And I find that once you surpass a milestone in your life, or you recover from something, there's always something else. I know in my personality, there's something else that I'm, okay, this is my next challenge, my next achievement, and I'm working towards that. So perhaps that's where the sadness comes from.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. But for me, it's a very positive song. It was something that gave me an uplifting kind of sense of what you can do, what you have purpose to do, you can do it.
Good.
You know?
All right, well, I want to hear it, so let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Thank you. up off my knees and facing home. A year from now I'll heal my life, I'll sort out black from white, and I'll be pleased. A year from now up from this path and see a star. Hope won't be too far. A year ago I couldn't speak, my heart would faintly beat, I felt so weak. Love of life was gone, I tried to run.
Okay, having listened to it now with a bit more of a knowing that it's there's supposed to be a more positive spin on it, I can hear it, but I don't know, I'm leaning towards I like the sad part. Maybe I just like sad songs more. I know, Angie, you're a big Porcupine Tree fan. We were talking about Steve Wilson earlier, and yes. I mean, I like those kind of
I don't know why. I like the dark. I mean, you were asking about the name of my cats earlier too, and you know, Floyd and Roger, and you know, I like the dark stories that Pink Floyd always told through song and stuff too. So
that's probably because I think a lot of people like sad songs because they, you can say, well, see, no, I'm not the only person who feels that way. You know, somebody else was sad, and lots of people are sad, and it's not like you're all alone and sad. But when you hear a sad song, it's like, oh, that person felt just like I feel, or maybe they didn't, but that song makes you.
It makes me feel better when I hear it.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
the kind of thing. Like, it still is a celebration of sorts, but it makes me feel better. So,
yeah, you don't feel alone.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm not being dragged down by the song. I love it. Definitely. It's a positive thing. Like I say, it's that part of the Mosaic-holic thing that I can't stop listening to that song. I can't stop over it again and again. So, that's wonderful. Okay, what we got Cat Scratch Blues coming up, too. Whose cat scratched you?
Well, we all, I mean, Cheeto and I both have cats. We've always had cats.
Okay.
Yeah, we love them. Because I play blues and rock and stuff, and we had this discussion, and I told Trina, why don't we do some kind of blues swing kind of song? And so came up this progression, sent it over to her, did the same thing, like Baby Birds, comes back the next day with the words and music to it, and... That was it.
Yeah, I was having a particularly difficult moment with my roommate at that time, who was a calico. So that's where that came from. It's bad relationships that I've had with roommates. And I've had many, many furry roommates in my life, yeah. But they're, you know, I mean, I speak disparagingly about cats, but I happen to love them very much. They they do what they want to do in their own time. You know, a dog is a follower and a cat is a leader. You work for a cat, you know. You're absolutely, on a cat's staff most of the time, whereas, you know, a dog is on your staff. So,
and I get much more out of that too when a cat comes up to me and says, "Yeah, I like you." It's like, "Well, yeah, see, cool." The
exactly.
cat likes me, and the dog just, "I like you, I like you, I like you, I like you,
exactly.
I like you." So, excellent. Okay, well, let's hear how Cat Scratch Blues goes, and then we'll come back and what is the last one we have here? Only one more left. You Belong is the last tune we'll come back and do after Cat Scratch Blues. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mozart's Basement here on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And Mosaic is in studio tonight, and here is Cat Scratch Blues.
I live with a black cat, and once I wouldn't cross his path. You see, I blamed him for the luck I lack. He was a loving force, looking for ladies all night. He'd groom all day and eat whenever he liked. He made a doorman out of me, he had me up and down. He said, "I like your stuff, I'll spritz my juice around. Dogs do what you tell them." That wasn't his thing. I knew he called the shots and I just let him, 'cause his eyes bewitched me and he loved me sweet. You know he loved me sweet. I lived with a calico once, she had a mean temper. You know she hated leather, but she always wore fur. She had a killer job, experimenting on mice. She'd groom all day and eat whenever she liked. She said, "You live with me, I let you in my space. You may feed me now, 'cause I'm the master race. Dogs do what you tell them." That wasn't her style. I knew she called the shots and I just let her, but her fur was soft and she made me smile. You know, she made me smile. White twins once, they were cute and young. They used to lick my face with their raspy tongue. They worked Clouseau by day and Cato by night. Any time of day, they were ready to fight. They curl up in my hair and pin down. down my head, poked me in the eye when I was sleeping in bed. Dogs do what you tell them, that wasn't their way. I think I need a shot and some flea repellent if I want to live to love another day. I want to live to love another day. I want to live to love another day. I want to live to love another day, another day, another day, yeah, yeah.
So your musical style, like, I mean, it's definitely all, clearly everything we've heard tonight can definitely be labeled as mosaic. Like, it's interesting, but it is quite varied too. Like, you do, it's not just, I don't know. Earlier when I was talking to the engineer here, he said there was a song that sounded like Alanis Morissette. And a friend of mine that was listening to the stuff with me last night had said that there was an element of quarter flash to it. I hear Holly Cole at times, and, you know, that's kind of all over the map, you know, so that's good.
Well, it's interesting to me that people need a frame of reference,
right,
you know, to experience something. And I'm very happy with your comments, actually, because I have gotten Barbra Streisand, which is not a road I want to go down, you know, but
there's talent there anyhow, so obviously a compliment. They intended it as a compliment,
But I've always wanted to sound like a black girl.
Uh-huh.
And look like a Polynesian girl.
Okay.
But I will never, you know. So I tried to take the vanilla out of my voice and, you know, make some. But the references are there because we're from such different, diverse backgrounds. You know, we all contribute something musically different, really.
Well, it's working very well. What was the song that you said that this will be like the fifth or sixth time you were going to play it? Is that You Belong? It's coming up.
You Belong.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll hear that one in a few minutes here. But everything else is, it's like I said, it's very polished. So, I mean, what kind of musical training did you guys have? Obviously, I noticed that some of you guys are reading from sheet music here. So there's you know, a level of arrangement that's being done that obviously certainly adds to the quality of the musical experience. But your dynamics are very impressive. So
Thanks. What
kind of musical training? I know you said that you do vocal training and stuff as well, but
yeah.
are all of you, you know, What's the college I'm looking for, John? All the guys from
Humber.
Berkeley. No, not that one. The guys from Dream Theater went there.
Oh, right.
Humber College?
Yeah.
They went to
Berkeley? They're all classically trained musicians. Yeah. So have you all been classically trained or a mixture?
Well, I started in opera.
Okay. Well, that's pretty classical. Yeah. Classically trained.
Well, I started with organ. Taking lessons, and then I started taking saxophone lessons when I joined high school band, but it was really high school band that got me going. I did that all through high school, and then I studied saxophone at Acadia University, so
okay.
I did performance on saxophone, so that's pretty, and I did classical saxophone. I actually didn't study jazz. I mean, I played jazz, but I didn't study jazz, so I guess that's pretty classically trained.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I started out taking piano lessons and doing the whole classical thing, but I couldn't stand it. I hated practicing. I hated going to my piano teacher's scary old Victorian house to get cracked with rulers and things. So I completely quit piano. And then when I was like in my teen years and, you know, people are starting to pick up guitars at high school and start their own little bands, and I wanted to play along too. So I picked it up again, but this time just kind of playing by ear and figuring things out myself. So you saw me reading music there, but I wasn't actually reading sheet music. I'm just reading my own little
notations
that I gave to myself. I actually can't read music to save my life.
I've lost that ability myself too. Yeah. Like, I used to actually, this is a trick, I get my piano player to play it for me, play the song for me, and then I just sort of cheat and try to reproduce that. But I don't know why I always found reading music as to be a little bit harder, but... Mm-hmm. And what about you, Cheeto? Like, you have like a classically trained background? Or?
It's interesting because this is the first time I've heard you really talking about it. I've been trained as a classical piano pianist when I was a kid.
Okay.
And same thing, you know, after 7 years of struggling playing classical, you go like, no, this is not what I want. So I stopped playing for a couple of years, and then same thing. Guys start playing, so, you know, I thought, well, I can learn how to play guitar. So I think I was 14 when I started playing guitar, playing here and there, and I never really had any formal training on it, but I've been playing off and on now for the last 15 years.
Well, there's certainly an advantage to having some of that classical training in the background. I think it can make you a better musician, and in your guys' case, it actually rang all the bells on the slot machine for sure. So, what about you, Ivan?
No formal training at all. Just completely learned by ear since I was a kid, and
okay,
you know, picking up the guitar. You know, when Elvis was around, then you know, then Buddy Holly and the Beatles and everybody else and country music and everything. So I mean, it's been a learning experience for me, especially the last. I've focused more on jazz certainly in the last 8 or 9 years, and that is a learning experience. So I'm taking little lessons from different jazz musicians, not just bassists, but also piano players and different bassists. I'm just learning, generally trying to learn the structure of jazz music in the last few years.
Okay. I see you list Frank Sinatra as one of your influences here as well. I think he would be very happy to sit down and listen to a Mosaic gig.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm not channeling Frank Sinatra anymore right now. Just, you know, but that's what my opinion is. So
I think Johnny Vegas channels Frank.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's it. Well, I hate to say this, but we're coming to the end of the interview here. The longer I put it off, I mean, there's only one song left anyhow, but I want to keep putting it off longer and longer, keep you guys around. But maybe you can come back. I understand, like you say, you're working on a whole bunch of new stuff for your premiere. This will be your premiere CD release?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's get that on the front burner. Mm-hmm. I really want to hear more of this stuff.
Well, this is a tune that was inspired by Billie Holiday, who I absolutely adore, so... Maybe you can hear little elements of Billie Holiday in there.
All right.
That's very interesting, because the first time I heard the song, when she sent it over to me, and that was the first thing that went to my mind. I said, like, oh, there's a lot of Billie Holiday I hear in this song. And she never told me about it. So when we started talking about it the next day, and that's exactly what she said.
I was
like,
freaking out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you've set yourself some pretty high standards there. Yeah. So I guess let's hear how it goes, and we'll go from there. All right. Really looking forward to you guys coming back. So here we go with You Belong, ladies and gentlemen.
Take the hand of a friend, give me love. Believe in the good and it will come. Feel the sun on your face every day. Share a kind word in all that you say. Hear the earth song and know that you belong. Open your mind. Truth you'll get. Close your mouth, empty your heart of regret. Fill your world with those in need. Say thanks every day and more, please. Hear the earth song and know that you belong. It's a new day. Leave the past behind. Your moment is now. It's time to shine. Face each day with the heart of a child. Tame your desires and sometimes go a little wild. Hear the earth song and know that you belong. Mom! of life, and it will turn out right. Hear the earth song and know that you belong. Laugh really hard each day, sing a song. Look for what can go right when all around you it's going wrong. Share your life with a dog or a cat. Borrow a smile from a child, use it, then give it back. Hear the earth's song and know that you belong. Hear the earth's song and know.
Well, who knew? I think this is the song that might bring the tears to my eyes this time around, and it's partially because of the song and partially because I got to say goodbye to you guys. But I really appreciate you dropping by the studio. I have the absolute best job in the world. I get to hang out in my studio in the basement, and all of these cool people come in and visit me. So I really appreciate it. I'd like to thank you very much, and once again, offer my apologies to Phil. We will get a sound booth in here for drums at some point, or... maybe I just need a bigger basement. I'm not sure. So I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys. And best of luck to you.
Well, thank you.
Go check out Mosaic. Once again, that's M-O space S-A-Y-K.
Mosaic.ca.
Mosaic.ca. There we go. Mosaic.ca. There's lots of good tunes on there.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been a pleasure for us to be
thank
here.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah. Great. Really enjoyed this. And we should do this again.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I'd love to. And I'd like to thank John Griffiths on audio engineering. He's been doing that for the whole time here on Mozart's Basement, but he hasn't been recognized yet, and I apologize to you for that, John.
Yay, John.
Engineering, yeah, you've done a wonderful job. And we have Terry, our chemist, in the back here. And if we need anything done, he takes care of it. So thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Okay, once again, ladies and gentlemen, you go to mozartsbasement.com. Or worldwidefreedomradionetwork.com to check out more information on these guys. We'll be putting the links up for their website there. Thanks again, and have a good evening. Bye-bye.